Chas Hutton studied architecture in Australia before moving to London for a change of scenery. But what began as a hobby among friends, drawing funny observational doodles on yellow post-it notes, soon led to his insanely popular Instagram account, InstaChaz. And now a new book, A Sticky Note Guide to Life, with doodles covering everything from dating and working to fighting gorillas. Oh, and he left that architecture career behind. So what's it like changing careers and going full steam ahead into the great creative abyss? This is Eureka, brought to you by Monocle 24 in association with Braintree. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Each week we bring you one entrepreneur story, the early inspirations, the struggles, and the path to success. This week, Chaz tells his story.
Grew up on a farm about 3 hours out of Melbourne. So in a tiny little country town called Penshurst, I think about 250 people or so. Eventually moved to Melbourne and started studying architecture. I think it's always been architecture, you know, this sort of, you know, when you sort of draw the token little sort of house and with the tree and the birds and stuff like that, like, I think at that stage I was sort of like nutting out floor plans and working out where the kitchen was going to be. And yeah, there was always sort of an attraction to architecture. It's a really long course, and I'm sort of inherently lazy and managed to make it a lot longer than it probably needed to be. And so every sort of 2 years I'd kind of have this, that's it, I'm gonna quit architecture and open a bar, or every now and again there'd be this sort of complete plan to sort of do something different. But, you know, I never really got around to doing it, just sort of kept on going along. It's one of those things where you'll say to me, like, oh, I work as an architect, and they go, oh, that must pay really well. And you're like, no, it doesn't. And like, I think people equate the length of the degree with how much it should pay, and sort of it's like, oh, like, I guess you're like a lawyer or a doctor. You're like, no, it's not anywhere near that kind of money. It was, I guess, one of those things where I'd been working in firms for a while, and then I kind of had a look around and realised that a lot of the people who I went through uni with, they were either starting to open their own firms, or they were quite high up in existing firms and, you know, running projects and all this sort of thing. And I was still kind of doing the stuff that anyone sort of 2 or 3 years out of uni could have easily done, and not really sort of pushing it that hard. I got to a point, I was, yeah, halfway through 30, and realised that I would have been eligible for a 2-year visa in London once I turned 31. So I thought, well, you know, I might as well, if I'm not really doing anything in Melbourne, I might as well go and not do anything in London, because that might sound a bit more impressive, or at least like create the illusion of feeling like you're at least going somewhere or doing something. So that was kind of the only reason I came over. It was sort of a bit of a Hail Mary pass. I got here, and then I didn't really have anywhere to live. I didn't have much money either. I ended up in this horrible place. It was like, I don't even know if you could call it a house. It was sort of a loose collection of rooms masquerading as a house. It was like a single bed, and you could lock your door, and I was just like, look, this'll do. I did realise that I didn't know half the people who lived there. You just have people coming in and out. You're like, oh my God, who's that? And someone would be like, oh, that's Steve. He's been here for years. You know, you're like, oh, I haven't seen that guy in months. So yeah, I was living there, and then through a friend, I managed to get a job in an architecture firm, and was there for the first sort of 6 to 9 months, I think. So it started, I'd be messaging friends on WhatsApp, you know, just a big group message thread. Because it was sort of, you know, I was trying to give the impression that I was actually doing work, I'd sort of, rather than kind of tapping away on my phone, I'd sort of keep abreast of the conversation and then just draw sort of my response rather than sort of write it down. And that way I could be at my desk drawing and look like I was doing work, and then at the last minute while no one was looking, just take a quick snapshot of the picture and send it through. So that's kind of the beginning of where all the graphs and things came from that are in the Instagram. The first one I posted was like the struggle of cooking chicken. You know, if you don't cook it enough, you're in that sort of salmonella fear zone. And then if you cook it too much, it's going to be dry. And there's actually, sort of a crossover in those two zones, so you can never actually sort of get it right. So that was the first, and then I just sort of, I tried to do one every day as a, you know, just sort of to have that consistency at the start, yeah. It was definitely a bit of fun, and, you know, the attention's always nice. Like, when you put stuff out and you've got sort of a certain number of people sort of commenting and liking, and you're like, oh, cool, you know, I've made someone laugh somewhere. I think in the back of my friend's mind, they were like, you know, maybe a brand will ask you to mention them and then we can, like, get some, you know, some free alcohol or something. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's, like, it's a good enough reason to start an Instagram, I guess. I've never sort of anticipated a book, though. That's sort of, yeah, a whole other thing. I think the Instagram was up to, it must have been around the 50,000 mark, and that's when I started getting emails from publishers, and there'd been a lot of press about it, and this would have been November last year, I think, when suddenly a few publishers started coming forward, sort of, you know, expressing interest. I had no idea about publishing at all. And I was also incredibly broke at the time. So I agreed to meet up with all of them, make sure that we all had meals somewhere, and I managed to get myself through the week, which was nice. They wanted about 70% fresh material. And then once I worked out how big the book was going to be, we worked out that to be somewhere in the vicinity of 120 new drawings, which had to get done over the course of about 2 or 3 months in order to get it out this year. So I ended up having to make myself a little spreadsheet, and I said, right, I need to do 3 a day in order to sort of, you know, get them all done. With architecture, I feel like I was already, before I left it, I was already lagging behind, and to go back, you know, I've been out of it for a year now. I think to go back is sort of, it's quite tough. So I feel like I'm kind of stuck with making jokes now, which is fine by me, to be honest. It's funny that, because, like, a lot of people mention and sort of say, like, there'll be comments and stuff saying, like, oh, you know, so inspiring, you sort of quit your job and now you're drawing things and stuff. But it was never really a risky move. You know, I was working there, and then while I was working there, all the book deal stuff was starting to come together. And then once I'd actually signed that and knew that there was sort of another revenue stream coming, then I could sort of relatively safely, like, step over onto my flimsy raft and, you know, see how it goes. It is a little bit terrifying. It's really, you know, but once you're doing this, you start to miss that getting paid once a fortnight and once a month, whenever it is. You know, even if you don't do any work, you're still going to get paid, which is, not that I'm saying I did that in, okay, I did. But it's a little bit daunting because you, in the back of my mind, I'm sort of trying to sort of formulate what the next move is and where do you go from here, and do you do another book or do you go in a different direction? And, but at the same time, that's kind of that sort of terrifying prospect is actually kind of exciting.
Chaz Hutton there on how he went from architecture to a career in post-it note cartooning. Make sure to tune into Eureka number 22 next Friday. And of course, tune into The Entrepreneurs every Wednesday at 1900 London time. Eureka was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. We'll see you then.